It's time for Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM. Tune in over the next hour as Corey talks about the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. Call in now, 814-946-0435. That's 814-946-0435. Now, Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM.
All right, good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Central, covering the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. I'm Corey Geiger. How's everybody doing today? Hopefully your day is going well. It's middle of November. We still got some pretty decent weather. When do you really kind of start to kick into Christmas mode? Are you there yet? You going out and getting all your presents yet? Or do you wait till after Thanksgiving? I'm curious about that. Anybody want to chime in on that? I'd love to hear any discussions about what your fall is like. Like, if you're doing Christmas stuff before Halloween, I think you're a nut, because you're losing a lot of money. Nothing's on sale yet. So what do you do right now during this interim period before Thanksgiving? Do you start to do a lot of your shopping now, or do you wait until after Thanksgiving? Here's another one, all right? This one's a little embarrassing. I'm going to embarrass my wife a little bit on this one, but we've been married a long time. She can't get rid of me. When do you put your Christmas tree up? All right. So it's November 13th. So we have a month and 2 weeks or so to go until Christmas. When do you put your Christmas tree up? And how long do you leave it up? See, that's really kind of the key here as well. When do you put your Christmas tree up? How long do you leave it up? Now, I love Christmas. We have two kids. We do the Santa and all that stuff. Christmas is great. But we just don't seem to get around. And when I say we, I mean my wife, because she's kind of in charge of it. We don't seem to get around to doing the Christmas tree until, like, sometimes middle of December. Like, December 14th, 15th. My wife's birthday is December 12th. A lot of times we don't have the Christmas tree up necessarily before her birthday. But then, see, here's kind of the embarrassing part. We end up leaving the tree up till probably February, all right? So we get maximum enjoyment out of having the tree up, but we don't put it up till late. And we don't bring that sucker down until we absolutely have to, when it starts to get kind of silly. Anybody want to jump in on, like, when you do your Christmas tree, when you do your shopping, all that stuff? I cannot handle Black Friday shopping. I cannot handle being out in stores shopping with a billion people. That is not my thing in any way, shape, or form. So I want no part of that. I do all the online stuff. My wife, she loves getting out of the stores and everything. That is not me. All right, 946-0435. I just want to throw that out there because it's a nice day. It's like 50 degrees today. My mind is not in Christmas mode yet, but I know a lot of people that are already out there doing their Christmas shopping. Okay, so last night, the college football playoff rankings came out. Penn State is number 4 in the playoff rankings. Do you think that's right? If the playoff began today, Penn State would be number 6 seed, even though they're the number 4 ranked team, because conference champions automatically get one of the top 4 seeds, and you've got the champion of the Big 12, the champion of the ACC will automatically jump into the top 4. So, like, say BYU's leading the Big 12, Miami's leading the ACC. Even though Penn State's the number 4 seed, it would be number 4 ranked team. It would be the number 6 seed, because BYU and Miami, if they were to win those leagues, would jump into the top 4. Now, there's a lot of criticism here. Paul Feinbaum says it's a joke. He says, what has Penn State done? Penn State's has one loss, a close game to Ohio State. The strength of schedule is pretty good, but they've really beaten no one. They've beaten no one of any ilk whatsoever. No top 25 teams. Their best win is over Illinois, which was in the top 20 at the time. They're not anymore. Meanwhile, so what you've got is, shocker here, you've got a lot of SEC, people in the SEC claiming, oh, all these teams in the SEC, all you got in the Big Ten is Ohio State, Oregon, and Penn State. The rest of the league sucks. And you know what? It kind of does this year. The rest of the Big Ten really kind of sucks this year. So you got the SEC. They're all down there beating each other up week in and week out. They're playing great teams. And yet the Big Ten has four of the top five ranked teams in the playoff with Oregon, Ohio State, Penn State, and Indiana. Indiana's number five. They're undefeated. They haven't beaten anybody. I mean, their schedule is awful. Indiana's undefeated, but their strength of schedule is like 81st in the country. It's terrible. They've literally beaten nobody. All right, and they're going to lose Ohio State, beat Purdue, and they're going to finish 11-1. Indiana's going to finish 11-1, will not have a single quality victory. And do they deserve a playoff spot? See, that's where things get really interesting to me. All right. 946-0435 if you want to agree with me, disagree, what have you. I was not a fan of going to 12 teams because I think it waters down the regular season. I've always felt like it would water down the regular season and you could lose, two, maybe even three games and still get in. But the flip side is, like Indiana's sitting here at 10-0. They have not a single quality victory, not a single one. And they're going to lose to Ohio State probably badly this week. And then they're going to beat Purdue because Purdue's horrible. So they're going to go 11-1. Do they deserve a playoff spot for beating nobody? Let me pull up Indiana's schedule here because it's pretty dicey when you take a look at who they've played. All right. Da, 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 da. Florida International. Western Illinois. Good Lord. UCLA, Charlotte, Maryland, Northwestern, Nebraska, Washington, Michigan State, Michigan. They did beat Michigan. Michigan's down this year, but they beat Michigan 20-15, and they don't have a single quality victory. Isn't that wild? They're undefeated, ranked fifth in the country. Now, the ranking I can kind of get because you just kind of tend to give people the benefit of the doubt. But should Indiana be ranked ahead of Georgia, Ole Miss, Alabama, any of those caliber teams from the SEC that are all really good, but they face fantastic competition most weeks? So that's what I kind of want to dive into a little bit here. Again, Paul Feinbaum from ESPN, he comes flat out today and says, what has Penn State done? Yeah. What have they done? Penn State cannot afford another loss. If Penn State, let's say, loses to Minnesota next week and is 10-2, whoo, man, it's going to get really, really crowded on the other side, on the backside of that 12-team playoff field because you got a bunch of teams that maybe have two losses, but they've got better victories than Penn State has. Because right now, Penn State's hanging its hat on Illinois and Wisconsin. Those are Penn State's best wins.
This is J.M. Boswell. Visit me before hunting, fishing, tailgating, and I will make your visit easy and fast. Don't slow up the tailgate party or the hunting trip with your friends without a great cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's Pipes, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell Pipe.
Get to Mattis Motorsports now for CF Moto ATVs and side-by-sides. Mattis Motorsports is also your headquarters for trailers, both open and closed. Campers, brands like Astoria, Gulfstream, Puma, and more. Bad Boy Zero Turn mowers in Lear and ARE truck cabs. Give Mattis Motorsports a call at 814-940-6288. Or check them out in person at 1702 East Pleasant Valley Boulevard in the Greenwood section of Altoona. And remember,
if it doesn't say Mattis, you paid too much.
At Shoe Fly, they think on their feet so you can walk in comfort and style. When you step into Shoe Fly, you'll be greeted by a friendly and knowledgeable staff who will assist you in finding the perfect shoe for any occasion. Shoe Fly believes that every foot problem has a fitting solution, and they will work with you to make sure you don't have to sacrifice style for comfort. For more information or to schedule a professional fitting with one of Shoe Fly's fit specialists, visit their website, shoeflystores.com. Your feet will thank you.
Hello, I'm Bud Blackie from J&P Auto Mart. Back in 2008, I transferred from the old Bud Mart to J&P Auto Mart. That's right, I've been at J&P Auto Mart selling pre-owned automobiles in Central PA for over 12 years.
J&P Auto Mart is Blair County's largest pre-owned auto outlet. Over 150 units to choose from. Experience with all types of credit and all forms of income. The creativity to get the deal done.
That's no joke. We're serious about putting you behind the wheel of a quality pre-owned vehicle. So come in and see me, Bud Blackie at J&P Auto Mart.
Apply online at jnpautomart.com or phone 944-5338.
Kepner's Grandview Meats, 1544 Pleasant Valley Boulevard. Mel and Chris have meals to go. Hot, delicious, homemade meals served up from 1130 to 2. Home-cooked goodness for the price of fast food. Roast beef with mashed potatoes and gravy. Or ham pot pie. Turkey with homemade stuffing and mashed potatoes. They have meatloaf dinners. Kepner Grandview Meats, now with new hours. Open Tuesday through Friday, 8 to 5:30. Saturday, 8 to 3. Call 814-943-6328. 943-6328. Kepner's Grandview Meats.
ARC Federal Credit Union can help you with many of the important things in life. If you'd like to become a member, ARC has growing opportunities, and you'd be surprised at how easy it is to qualify now that ARC includes over two dozen local employers and organizations. And with two branches, it's easier than ever. Services like business loans, online banking, and mobile deposit. Let us show you the many benefits of being a member of ARC Federal Credit Union. Stop into 1919 7th Avenue in Altoona and 419 North 7th Street in Juniata.
Hank FM.
All right, we'll open up the phone lines, 946-0435. Coming up here in a few minutes, we did a tremendous interview. Most of you, I don't know if you got the chance to hear it or not last week, Penn State Altoona men's basketball coach Dave McGreal joined us on a location show. We had a fantastic college basketball discussion. I want to replay that here. In a little while today. If you didn't get to hear that, if you're a big college basketball fan, be sure to stick around for that. A lot of really good stuff in that interview, and I had a good time chatting with the coach. Really good stuff. 946-0435 is our number if you want to talk some college football. I mentioned in the first segment about the rankings. Penn State's number four, does not have a quality victory. Indiana's number five, not a real high-quality victory anyway. Indiana's number five. They've beaten absolutely nobody. So how do we reconcile these rankings and justification for Here's the thing, folks. I talked about this a lot last year, and this went under the radar. Nobody kind of wanted to get into this a whole lot last year. It's not just necessarily about who's in the 12-team field. Okay, it's about your seed as well. Obviously, top four seeds, they get a bye in the first round. 5, 6, 7, 8, they host a first-round game. 9, 10, 11, 12, you've got to go on the road. So where you're seeded is incredibly important. Incredibly important. So the committee, the College Football Playoff Committee, they've always been tasked with okay, well, which team do they think is better? This came up last year, like Georgia was ranked behind Florida State, okay? Florida State was terrible at the end of last year. They lost their quarterback. All their guys sat out the bowl game. So, but they had a better record than Georgia, but they had lost their quarterback. So they were a completely different team. When the committee sits down to rank these teams, they're playing with, I mean, think about it from Penn State's standpoint. If Penn State's at home, you got to think Penn State's going to win a playoff game. Very, very, very good opportunity to win a first-round playoff game. Versus if they go on the road, very different story, potentially. So it's not just getting into the top 12. Now we're relying on these human beings to rank these teams correctly. You cannot convince me under any scenario that Indiana is the fifth best team in the country and deserves a number five ranking. Well, Geiger, they're undefeated. So what? Their schedule is absolute horse manure. So if the seeding is supposed to be about which teams you think are actually better, are you kidding me that these human beings think Indiana's better than an Ole Miss, a Georgia? Just because Indiana's undefeated, that this is poll mentality. This is AP poll mentality of, oh, I'm going to rank you here because you're undefeated. But the playoff committee is supposed to determine who is the best team out of a group of teams. Jerry in Bellwood wants to talk some Indiana. What's going on, Jerry? How you doing?
Do they take in strength of schedule and rankings?
They're supposed to, but Indiana's strength of schedule is like 81st. All they're looking at in Indiana, the only thing they're looking at in Indiana is that they're undefeated.
They don't do, are those polls computer generated?
No, they're human. The men and women on the playoff committee, they determine Each and every ranking for every team. They give you this criteria that a lot of times is bogus. They'll do things for PR value. I think they've got Indiana that high because it's a good story and Indiana's undefeated. And they're like, hey, look, see, we're pulling for the little guy here. But, Jerry, do you think Indiana's better than Ole Miss or Georgia? Even though these teams have two losses, Ole Miss, Georgia, Notre Dame. Notre Dame's got a loss. You think Indiana's better than Notre Dame?
Well, ask me that after they play Ohio State, because that'll be the marker. If they're competitive with Ohio State, then I could make an argument. Yes. If they get blown out, then it's obviously no.
Okay, and that's a great point because there's still 3 weeks left. These human beings on the committee, I think they've given themselves outs with what you just said. They've got an out with Indiana. So to sit here and criticize Indiana being fifth this week, they all probably know, either in the back of their mind or whether they've spoken about it publicly or not, I mean in their room or not, they all know Indiana's probably going to get smashed by Ohio State. And then, boom, there's their criteria for dropping them, perhaps maybe even out of the top 12.
Well, wasn't there a time, I don't know if it was when there was the 14 playoff or even before that, that they based the rankings on three polls. One was coaches, mm-hmm. one was AP, and one was computerized.
That was the BCS. That was the BCS. And you know what?
Yeah, the BCS, right.
More often than not, the BCS kind of got it right. Probably 70, 75% of the time, the BCS did come up with what we perceived as the two best teams in the country. They didn't always get it right, but again, the beef I have here is in the criteria, I guess. And look, I got a beef that Penn State's number four. I mean, Penn State's literally done nothing, in my opinion. They've done nothing. They had one really good impressive performance against Washington. Washington's got five losses. USC's got five losses. I mean, that's where I think it's great for Penn State because they've got a good lofty ranking. And if they run the table, they're probably going to be the number six seed. So they're in great, great shape, all things considered. But should Penn State be ranked ahead of some of these two-loss teams that have played and beaten maybe somebody better, but they've got one more loss.
Well, I think they should go back to how they did the BCS. I think they should, because the computer being one of the factors, I mean, that they let the computer spit out some rankings. I mean, it's unbiased, you know, it's unsealing, you know, it's not worried about publicity. I think they should throw that back in. And the other point I wanted to make, you kind of feel for Indiana, because really, of those teams that you mentioned that they're playing, you know, they didn't know that UCLA and Washington and even, you could even say Nebraska or Michigan and Michigan State were all going to be kind of lousy this year. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. their schedule isn't, you know, if you just looked at that schedule most years, you say, that's a pretty tough schedule. This year it doesn't happen to be. And, you know, I don't know how far in advance since they had the merger they make up these schedules. I know at one point before the merger that it was years in advance.
Yes, it's usually 3 to 4 years before ahead of time.
So, you know, it's the old argument.
At least for non-conference anyway. The conference games, yeah, that's kind of a year-to-year deal.
Yeah, and so, you know, they beat who was put before them. And it's really not their fault that those teams suck, because some of those teams are just downright lousy all the time and they're small and all that kind of stuff. But those teams that I just mentioned, you know, they're normally pretty good. But
that's a fair point. It's a fair point, and I don't blame Indiana. I'm not criticizing Indiana saying they could have done something different. I'm just simply pointing out the fact that they've beaten nobody. Yeah, I mean, Indiana football has very little to no tradition. They're just trying to schedule to win 5 or 6 games, honestly. They're playing Florida International and Western Illinois and Charlotte. They're just trying to get some wins, because getting any wins at Indiana is difficult. So I'm not criticizing their scheduling. Now, we can make a case for Penn State or other teams, you know, why are you scheduling this or that or whatever? You know, should you schedule a harder team? If Penn State schedules a harder team, would it make them better prepared for Ohio State, that sort of thing? That's always an interesting part of the discussion. I'm just merely pointing out the fact that Indiana is sitting here at 10-0, and this is the worst 10-0 record I've ever seen.
Well, if you waited more, the computer rankings, if they would let the computer come up with the rankings in addition to the humans, you know, have both of them,
yeah,
I think that would solve some of the issues that we're having.
Yeah, good stuff, Jerry. Appreciate the call, man. 946-0435. Chuck in Unionville. Chuck, people say they don't care about rankings and all this stuff. It's such a conversation generator. Where do you stand on these rankings?
Hey, you know, Corey, well, this is going to be a short call for me. I'm driving home, and I'm going to go through a dead section here in about 30 seconds. But the AP has always hated losses, period.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Always.
Right.
And if you get more than one loss, if you get two losses, they don't care how good you are. You know, the only qualifier they'll give you is if you're losing within the top five. If you lose to teams that are clearly better than you and you play well, like Penn State did against Ohio State, then they're going to be forgiving in that regard.
Chuck, this is awesome. Chuck, this is awesome. I love that you're bringing up all this, because I've always been that way too. I ding you for a loss. But you mentioned the AP. That's us idiot sports writers having fun with stuff. The College Football Playoff Committee is supposed – they're not supposed to be the AP poll. They're not supposed to be the coaches poll. They're supposed to be determining who are the best teams and rank them accordingly. That's the difference in what – see, AP polls, coaches polls, you're going to go up automatically if you win like Indiana. You're going to go down if you lose. But that's not what the playoff committee is supposed to be doing here.
Yeah, but then you're assuming the playoff committee is not – what TV audiences are going to be brought along.
Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. And that is as much as anything. I think you're right. Indiana's going to be they're going to fall. You know, but when you're talking the AP, they ding losses. When you're talking this playoff system, they're looking at how many eyeballs are going to be on screens too.
Yeah, I agree with all that. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate the call. We got it all in there before we lost the signal. All right, caller number two. Mr. Hankey, the poo guy. What's up, dude?
I just want to say that I'm proud to be Mr. Hankey.
Proud to be Mr. Hankey. All right. You're proud to be number two.
Yeah. Hey, any Big Ten fan that doesn't admit that they get very nervous when you mention the SEC, there's probably, now you know better than me, but there's probably 6 really good teams in the SEC that are beating each other up.
Yep.
And would Indiana, how would Indiana do? Texas at Indiana, how would they do?
I think they'd probably lose to all six of them. Here's where things get really scary. Because on one hand, I keep wanting to say, if Penn State gets a home game, they should win that home game, right? As things stand right now, do you know who Penn State's home game would be?
Alabama?
Ole Miss.
Ole Miss, well, that's a good team.
I think Ole Miss wins that game, even at Beaver Stadium. So you got Alabama's 10th, Ole Miss is 11th, Georgia's 12th. Now, Georgia's got Tennessee this week. If they beat them, they can move up a good bit. Maybe Tennessee goes down. So the point is, this is where it's very important from the committee standpoint. If you've got Alabama, Mississippi, and Georgia at 10, 11, 12, and you've got Indiana 5, and I'll even go Miami 9, those SEC teams are better than those teams. So what are these polls, what are these rankings supposed to be doing? Again, AP polls, coaches polls, we know how they work. If you win, you just automatically go up. The College Football Playoff Committee is not supposed to be about that. It's not just supposed to be about, well, Indiana's undefeated, we're going to put them at number 5. No, Indiana probably deserves to be number 12 here, okay? All things being equal, Indiana should be like maybe number 11 coming to Penn State for a first-round game, not Ole Miss, for crying out loud.
Yeah, I agree. Somebody, one of the earlier callers mentioned strength of schedule. Do you think the committee is hoping that, like, the weaker teams that are ranked highly right now will get knocked off? They're just hoping and praying.
Like I said, Indiana plays Ohio State this week. The committee is, I think, very much primed if Ohio State – now, look, if it's a close game, then Indiana stays in the top 12. And I'm not even saying 59 to nothing like Wisconsin 10 years ago. If it's 35 to 13 or something, Indiana misses the playoff altogether. If they get blown out in their one shot and they've got nothing else to fall back on, there's no way in the world you could have Indiana in over like or above even an Alabama, Ole Miss, Georgia, Tennessee, Notre Dame, those kind of teams.
Yeah. So the committee, it could get really dicey.
Yes.
If things don't go their way.
Well, remember, Ohio State was very much on the potential out in 2014. And the committee can, bottom line is, yes, the committee can be swayed by the eye test. When Ohio State beat Wisconsin 59 to nothing with Cardale Jones, a third stringer playing quarterback, the committee was like, wow. And then obviously Ohio State went on to win the title last year. It's amazing, man, that that's Ohio State's last championship 10 years ago, as close as they are all the time. But the point is, the 59 to nothing eye test that late in the year against what we thought was a pretty good Wisconsin team swayed everything. And that could work for or against like an Indiana. And even a Penn State next week at Minnesota, if Penn State goes in there and farts around and wins by one or two points, they could get dinged for that and drop two or three spots. A win is not necessarily a win if it's not, you know, if you're playing what's considered a weaker team.
Right. There may be more margin for error for the SEC, but they keep beating each other. And do you think a three-loss team could get in from the SEC, let's say?
It's very interesting because right now you've got Alabama's got two, Ole Miss has two, Georgia has two. Tennessee, if they lose to Georgia this week, they will have two. So you could be looking at all four of those teams with two losses. Then you take into account the conference championship game, whoever that might end up being. If that's like Texas versus, hell, I don't know. I don't even know who would be on the other side. If that conference championship game is a third loss, are they going to get dinged because they lost a third game and it happened to be to like the number 3 team in the country, say Texas?
Yeah, you'd almost not want to be in that game.
so you only have the two losses.
Bingo. You know where Penn State is, why Penn State's sitting pretty? Because if Penn State, you know, look, if they'd have gone on and gone undefeated and won the Big Ten, that obviously they're in the top four. Probably number two behind Oregon. Actually, no, they might be number one because everybody else would have a loss. But losing to Ohio State gives Penn State everything like right in front of it. They can still get a home game. They can still be like a six seed, having beaten no one, and they get to rest. They don't have to play in that conference championship game and risk anybody getting hurt or dinged up.
Yeah, it may work in their favor, was what you're saying.
Yeah, absolutely. Losing that Ohio State game, it may not end up because if they'd have gone to the Big Ten championship game and lost to Oregon, they'd still be the sixth seed. Okay, and nothing, and you would have just played a 13th game, and that's not beneficial to anybody.
Right. Yeah. Very interesting.
These are great discussions. Appreciate the call. We're going to take a break. We'll get back to the phone lines here in just a second.
I'm Kerry Murphy with your NASCAR Truck Series race recap from Phoenix Raceway. Ty Majeski led 132 of the 150 laps to dominate and win the race and the championship.
Well, I didn't want to get my sock wet. I'm paying for it now, so my right sock soaked. No, it's a little bit of a tradition with Thor Sports. So what are they now? 6 of 11 championships here, so that's phenomenal. It really is. Duke and Rhonda Thorson, Allie Thorson, everybody at Thor Sport has built such a mega team up in Sandusky, Ohio. We're incredibly proud of that, to bring home another champion. To Sandusky, being outside of Charlotte means a lot to us. We put ourselves on an island. I feel like that can be an advantage and a disadvantage at times, but overall, we control our own destiny. We build all our own chassis, hang all our own bodies in-house, and like I said, we do control our own destiny, and that's a big reason why when we find something, we can keep it to us, right? In Charlotte, sometimes when you find an advantage, it can get spread around very quickly, but we can keep it to us up in Sandusky. So just super proud to be a part of the Thor Sport Racing organization, and happy to bring home another championship for them.
Corey Heim was second, followed by Christian Eckes, Nicholas Sanchez, and Grant Enfinger rounds out the top five. You're on the final lap.
If fashion is your thing, eBay is it. eBay's where I find all my favorites, from handbags to iconic streetwear, all authenticated. For real. This time, a little Supreme, some Gucci. I even have that vintage Prada on my watch list. That's why eBay's my go-to for all my go-tos. Yeah, eBay. The place for new, pre-loved, vintage, and rare fashion. eBay. Things people love.
Oh no, my phone.
Hear that? It's the sound of a skater dropping her phone and smashing it on the ice. Yep, it's definitely broken. But at Verizon, we got you. This holiday, trade in any phone, any condition from one of our top brands and get a new Samsung Galaxy S24 Plus on Unlimited Ultimate and Watch 7 and Tab S9 FE5G. That's over $1,800 in value. So you'll save big on three great gifts. Only at Verizon. Service plan required for Watch and Tablet. Over $1,800 value based on phone, watch, and tablet. Trade in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
This is J.M. Boswell. Visit me before hunting, fishing, tailgating, and I will make your visit easy and fast. Don't slow up the tailgate party or the hunting trip with your friends without a great cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's Pipes, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
With all the activities and sports you and the kids are involved with, who has time to cook? So with that in mind, let's go to Best Way Pizza for the three-cut lunch deal with a soda. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for their awesome 15-cut big deal. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 28-cut party box. It's time to get you and your team to Best Way Pizza before or after the game. Best Way Pizza, Greenwood, Altoona, and Hollidaysburg.
AKFM.
All right, back to the phone lines. We got Jason on the road talking some college football. What's going on, Jason? How you doing today, buddy?
Oh, not too bad on the way home from work. the conference or the playoff committee has. I thought I read somewhere they stated they weren't going to punish a conference championship game participant for losing.
Sure. In theory, that's in theory now, but
yeah.
if we came down to practical matters, how bad do you lose? I mean, you know.
Yeah, I mean that's the case, but that could lay the groundwork for a 3-loss SEC team to get in.
Absolutely,
competitive in the conference championship.
Yeah, if you're Georgia, say you're Georgia and you were to lose, that'd be a third loss. But if you lose to Texas by like 3 points, obviously you're good. You lose to Texas by 20 points. I don't think would happen.
I don't think anybody wants to see that game again. Right?
No, right.
But yeah, I think you know. So, and that actually could be at the detriment of a 2-loss SEC team.
Right, and that's where, like with Penn State's sitting here with the 1 loss, they don't have to go play, say, Oregon in the conference championship game and lose. Let me ask you this. Say Penn State were to lose to Oregon in the conference championship game and has that 1 loss. Would they be any – you say that the committee wouldn't drop them, but in theory the best they could be is 5th because they wouldn't be a conference champion, and I think they'd probably most likely be 6th. So it gets back to what I was saying. Losing to Ohio State, Penn State's probably going to end up 6th. If they went undefeated and lost to Oregon, Penn State's probably going to end up 6th, right?
Well, but that would assume that the team that lost the conference championship didn't – fall below 6th. I mean,
5.
You know, so Ohio State, yeah, but I mean, Ohio State would be 5th and Penn State would be 6th then. And then what does that do for the SEC winner and loser, or, you know, conference loser and,
yeah,
I guess, next one into the conference game?
Yeah, that's where things get fascinating.
I still think they're looking at probably at best the 6, but more likely the 7-8 if they're not going to make the conference and the championship game unless something crazy happens. But so I think the best they could actually do is a 7 or an 8.
Do you take any issue at all with Indiana being number 5 and being rewarded for being undefeated against a garbage schedule?
Yeah, we talk about the eye test. That's the committee's job.
Correct.
Make the eye test.
Yep.
I mean, that is their job. You know, I need to look at these teams. Which one's better? Which one's worse? Not who has the best record, because the best record in this case, I don't think means anything. I mean, it's just, they didn't play anybody. You know, you really don't know how good they are. I mean, maybe they are outstanding. We don't, you know. But you don't know until they play somebody that you know is good. And right now, we aren't there.
Here's the thing. Penn State's entire argument, the only thing, really, I think, that is in Penn State's favor in any of this discussion is the eye test against Ohio State. The committee saw that they got down to the inside the 5-yard line with a chance to tie the game. And no matter what else, even though Penn State's beaten nobody, that eye test has probably been enough to sway people on that committee.
I would think so. I mean, it could be.
So far.
Yeah, could be the other way too. That, you know, they're just not good enough to score against what might be the second best team in the Big Ten. I hope they make the playoffs. I hope they're number 8 so they can get a home game and, you know, just that atmosphere for the sake of the players and the university. But I don't know that winning that game isn't, you know, like you said, it could be Ole Miss, they could be Alabama. You know, hosting that team.
But oh, man.
It's not a very winnable game.
That's wild.
Once you're to that point.
The possibility of, like, hosting Ole Miss, you know, with all the firepower. We saw what Ole Miss can do in the bowl game last year. Jason, appreciate the call, man. Be safe out there driving. We got George in Altoona. What's going on, George? How you doing?
Good, Corey. Hey, listen, I'm going to throw another wrench into the whole situation.
Let's
here.
Do it. I love it.
Okay. All right. Listen, there's a chance. A good chance that the SEC championship game ends up being a rematch of Texas A&M.
Mm-hmm, yep, right.
Because Texas A&M only has 1 loss. They got New Mexico State and Auburn, and then they meet Texas. What if they beat Texas in the rivalry game? both those teams will be just one loss. Everybody else has two. And they meet each other in the championship game.
If A&M wins, they're the SEC champion.
Then what do you do? Then you got Mississippi and you got Alabama and Georgia all sitting with two losses, not getting a chance at the championship game. A&M goes to the championship game and plays Texas.
Let's see. A&M, yeah, you're right. They have one conference loss.
That's it.
And have you, in this scenario here, which is, it's juicy. It's juicy, George. I really love juicy scenarios. Have you checked the tiebreakers? Like, if this works out with...
It's one versus one.
Looking at A&M's schedule, they play Texas at the end of the regular season.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Rivalry game. They would have to beat Texas.
And then you're saying they would beat again?
And then they would play Texas again.
Do we know for sure that both those teams would have the tiebreakers?
Well, doesn't Texas doesn't have an SEC loss, do they?
Texas does not. Their loss was to let's see. Their loss was to Georgia. So they do have one loss. Yeah.
Oh, they have one. Do. Okay. Well, then A&M controls everything. A&M would be number one with one loss, and then you'd have all those two loss teams, and they'd have to fight it out for who gets to meet A&M.
My head is sitting here spinning. It's at A&M also.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's absolutely possible.
Oh my gosh! Because now you're talking. We think it should be a given that Alabama, Ole Miss, Georgia all get in. Texas gets in. And then I'm missing somebody. But if A&M is in that scenario, Tennessee. So Tennessee, I think Tennessee could end up being, because they play Georgia this week. That could be an elimination game.
That's an elimination game, I think.
Yeah. But still, oh man. I love it when people think outside the box, George. This is great. You're rooting for chaos here.
Yeah, well, I'm going to root for A&M.
That's hilarious. Thanks, man. Good stuff. All right. Jay, what's going on? How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm going to spin your head some more.
Let's do it. I love it. I give all you guys credit. The better we can make this more chaos, the better.
What if Indiana beats Ohio State?
Yep.
And whether they win or lose in the conference championship, what would that do with everything?
Well, they would definitely be in. And they would deserve to be ranked ahead of Penn State. Okay, so I'm trying to take it step by step. They would deserve to be ranked ahead of Penn State. So that could conceivably knock Penn State down one more to like number 7. Okay.
You still got Ohio State in the mix.
But that would be two losses for Ohio State.
Maybe it's back end.
And so there, that's interesting. If Ohio State loses to Indiana, but Ohio State beat Penn State, would a two-loss Ohio State team be ranked ahead or behind a one-loss Penn State team that it beat?
It could change everything.
Yeah, wild. Now, do you think there's any chance? Let me look at the line on the game. I'm guessing it's probably 14, 16 points. You think there's any chance Indiana beats Ohio State this week?
Well, you've heard of Appalachian State before.
Yeah, right, yep.
You never know. Probably not, but you never know.
Oh, man, let's see. I'm trying to find the line here. Good stuff, brother. I appreciate it. That's funny. 946-0435. I got to find the line on OSU Indiana first before we move on. Point spread. I'm going to guess 14 to 16 points, somewhere around there. Indiana has given them some troubles at times. Oh, man. 9.5. What? That can't be right. Indiana, Ohio State, 10.5. It's 10.5 right now. Wow. All righty, 946-0435. We've got Garrett in State College. What's going on, Garrett? How you doing, buddy?
Good, Corey. How are you, bud?
Good, man. What's up?
Good. It's been a long time. Hey, listen,
one thing, a one-loss Penn State team, no way they don't make the playoff.
Yeah, no way, no way. If they lose to Minnesota, given some of this other chaos that we're talking about, you know, A&M, whatever the hell happens, A&M, a loss to Minnesota could make things very dicey for Penn State. I think they'd probably be looking at 11 or 12 if they get in.
That's correct. Two, what are the Penguins doing right now? Are we fixing to hit a reboot mode? Are we fixing to see maybe a trade of Letang or Carlson to push forward here? Or are we just going to steady the ship for the rest of the season and go with what we got?
You know what? I don't talk a lot of Penguins on the show. Believe it or not, I do follow the Penguins more than probably people might think. I especially, during all my time at DK Pittsburgh Sports, they cover the hell out of the Penguins. They do a tremendous job. So yes. I read a lot of DK stuff on the Pens, and he's been very critical of basically allowing the organization to get so old and everything. I mean, it's one of those weird things. They've got three superstars. You got one of the top five players of all time, and Sid's still good, but they just got so old so fast. This is going to be a third consecutive year, most likely, of not making the playoffs. You can't trade Sid, but do you trade Malkin? I mean, how does that look? You know, here's the thing. In the NFL is very cutthroat. The NFL would do it. The NFL would trade. They traded Franco. Right. But would the Penguins – and what would a reboot look like? Just dropping Malkin and Letang? I don't see under any scenario they're trading Sid.
No way you trade Sid, but I do wonder, too. I think you look at the three of them kind of in the aspect of player coach-wise, like a Paterno.
Yeah.
Like, done so much for the organization, they have the right to go when they want to go. But I think that kind of needs to be a closed-door conversation because – that loss to Dallas the other night was just horrendous.
Well, they gave up six in the first.
Yeah. I mean, just horrible.
Yep. Yeah, it happened so quickly because they'd made, 16 consecutive playoff appearances, and that ended 2 years ago, kind of down to the wire. Yep. And then it's almost – I hate to say it, it's almost like the Pirates – they've done nothing. Yep. They've done nothing to improve the team over the last couple of years, nothing of substance anyway.
Well, and I think, too, with the Penguins, too, it's kind of like a Penn State situation, right? We've gotten comfortable just making the playoffs every year. And, you know, I know Franklin always says, you know, you got to get uncomfortable. But, you know, I feel like the Penguins got comfortable and they just forgot about looking into the future from here, Corey.
Yep, good stuff, Garrett. Good to hear from you, man. Thanks for the call. 946-0435. We'll take some more calls here after the break.
This is J.M. Boswell. Visit me before hunting, fishing, tailgating, and I will make your visit easy and fast. Don't slow up the tailgate party or the hunting trip with your friends without a great cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's Pipes, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell. Well, Pike.
Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast.
Whether it's popcorn for a movie or chips and snacks for your party, great times and great snacks go hand in hand. Davison Snacks Outlet is your go-to place for snacks. Whether you want crispy, savory, or sweet, everything from small bags to bulk packages and gift baskets too. Davison Snacks has Martin's Chips and Snacks, jerky from Bronco Billy's and Rougarou, All-Star Cotton Candy, Little Debbie Snack Cakes, Boyer Candy, Dots Pretzels, Wise Snacks, and more. Life is better with snacks. From Davison Snacks Outlet, 16843 Dunnings Highway, Duncansville.
Got Medicaid or are you uninsured? Do you need a doctor? We love to care at Gloria Gates Care, and we're now accepting new members. At Gloria Gates Care, we've got all your needs in one place, and we welcome you to come join us while we help you to receive the quality care you deserve. At Gloria Gates Care, we're redefining healthcare. For office hours and more information, call 814-300-7777. Gloria Gates Care, 2525 9th Avenue, Suite B, Altoona. Online at GloriaGatesCare.com.
This Thanksgiving at Total Wine and More, find Pinot Noirs and Cabernets that you adore. Our helpful guides are so friendly and nice. So many bottles to try at the lowest price. So gather with friends as you sit down to eat. Grateful for all who made Thanksgiving complete.
With the lowest prices for over 30 years, you'll always find what you love and love what you find. Only at Total Wine and More.
Drink responsibly, B21.
Lowe's honors our military community this Veterans Day and every day. To say thank you, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get 10% off everyday purchases, plus free silver key status with MyLowe's Rewards. It's our way of showing our gratitude to the brave people who have and continue to serve our country. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
All right, welcome back to Sports Central, brought to you each and every day by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars. If you're heading out to a game or going hunting, fishing, stop on by J.M. Boswell's first. They'll hook you up with cigar packs, tobacco blends, pipes. 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria. They're open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. Here's some odds for you from Vegas. If you want to join us here, we got a few minutes left. Fantastic college football discussion. This is awesome. I especially love those of you at the end calling up with some of these crazy outside-the-box scenarios like Texas A&M beating Texas and that creating havoc throughout the whole damn thing. Here are the odds to make the playoffs, all right, according to Vegas. Texas, number one, best odds, 94.7%. Second best odds in the country to make the playoff, the Penn State Nittany Lions, 90%. This is interesting. Georgia has the third best odds, 83.3%, even though they're ranked 12th and they have two losses. Georgia's got Tennessee this week. That's a higher number than I would fear. The fourth best odds to make the playoffs, Indiana, 83.3%. So basically, the whole world is realizing Indiana can lose to Ohio State. They'll beat Purdue, be 11-1, and get in. I just hope for Indiana's sake it's not a blowout. I'd say it needs to be, it needs to be 14 or less. I was going to say 17, but that's pretty rough. If Indiana loses by 14 or less to Ohio State and they're 11-1, do I think they're one of the 12 best teams? No. Would that get them in? Yes. Fifth best odds, Alabama, 77.8. Also Ole Miss, 77.8. Also Notre Dame, 77.8. Also Tennessee, 77.8. Tennessee's got Georgia. If Tennessee loses to Georgia, that'd be two losses for them. So these odds are kind of still reflecting they would have a good shot to get in. Boise State, 76.5. Then the odds really drop off for a lot of teams. All those teams, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I've given you 9 teams with odds of at least 76%. After that, it drops down to Miami, 56.5%. Colorado, Coach Prime, 50%. BYU, 45.5%. SMU, 40%. A&M, 25%. Clemson, way down at 22.2%. Colorado is intriguing because Colorado could win the Big 12. I was having a good discussion by text message from Rob in Bedford about comparing the Big 10 to these other leagues. He was kind of challenging me a little bit on saying that the SEC is the only league better than the Big 10. But this year specifically, the Big 12 and the ACC, I just think they're way down. I think they're way down. I don't think Miami, Clemson, I don't think those teams in the ACC are all that great. And then you go to the Big 12, BYU, leads the Big 12, BYU. And then Colorado's right there. So if Colorado beats BYU, wins the Big 12, Coach Loudmouth is in the playoff. And I'll tell you what, it'll be interesting. It'll be an interesting storyline. I don't really want to see it. I don't want to see Deion Sanders rewarded after running off, close to 60 players and then just being so vocal about how they weren't any good and all that stuff. I think it was so unprofessional the way he did things. Look, players transfer, coaches leave and take other jobs. I get it. It's a business. That's just the way it goes. I just don't like the way Deion did it with really hammering some of these kids who had gone there and done everything that they possibly could to play as well as they could at Colorado. And then Deion just makes fun of them, kicking them out the door. I don't like this. I don't want to see Deion. I don't want to see Colorado in the playoff. But they have a shot. They've got probably the best all-around player in college football in Travis Hunter, a star wide receiver and cornerback. He's the favorite to win the Heisman right now. So Colorado's definitely got a shot. But those odds are very interesting. Second best odds in the entire country to make the playoff, Penn State sitting here at 90%. Texas is the only team that has better odds at 94.7%. Really good discussion today, you guys. I was going to play the interview we did last week. I was going to replay with Dave McGreal, the Penn State Altoona men's basketball coach. We end up getting a whole bunch of phone calls, so I'm going to save that maybe for Friday. I do want to play that again. It was just tremendous stuff, a fantastic college basketball discussion. Didn't get to mention yet, Penn State crushed St. Francis last night by 30, 92-62 at the Jordan Center. I give the Red Flash credit. They went out and played a good first half. They got down 11-0, and then they kind of fought back, and they were right there within a bucket or so, but they trailed at the half 45-38 against a good Penn State team. Penn State, I think, is a legitimate top 25 team. They're not ranked yet, but I think they could be before too long. But then things got away from St. Francis in the second half. I covered St. Francis for 20 years. And I have a soft spot for Rob Krimmel. I want to see them do well. They were picked to finish tied for last in the Northeast Conference this year. They had a really good run for a 7-8 year period. It's been a tough ride the last couple years. And I wanted to mention this, Josh Cohen. They had a guy a couple years ago named Josh Cohen, who was the NEC Player of the Year. So this guy goes from St. Francis. Then he was really too good for St. Francis, so he transferred to UMass. Now Josh Cohen, you know where he plays? USC. He transferred all the way out to USC, a guy who spent his first 4 years at St. Francis. He got hurt his first year. He's now playing at USC, averaging 11.5 points per game. What does that tell you about basketball? You can find good basketball players anywhere. So, but yeah, I think it's going to be a tough year for St. Francis. Good year for Penn State. I'm excited for what Mike Rhodes is doing there. I think that Penn State team, they're just clobbering people in the second half especially. Now, it's early, and these games are not against good competition, but I think this could be a pretty good year for Penn State. Tournament? I don't know, but I think we'll at least be talking about them being on the bubble for the tournament here in a couple months. All right, folks, that's going to wrap things up for me today. Appreciate everybody tuning in. Great college football discussion. Thanks for all the calls. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Sports Central is an exclusive presentation of 96.1.